You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back to the Weekly Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. This week, Karen and I will cover Unit 22, Session 3, Jesus Healed a Man Who Was Lame. Karen, this is one of my more favorite Bible stories. Notice how I just phrased that, because I have a lot, because the next one is as well.
That's awesome.
But I love this account. So as we always start with, this one seems like a bit more on the nose, but what is this session going to be about?
Yeah, well, we know that Jesus healed a man who could not help himself. You know, he could not walk. And that points us to our need for Jesus to free us from sin, because our sin is definitely not something we can help ourselves with.
Not at all.
We are, as you pointed out in previous sessions, we are dead in our sin.
So this is the man who was by this pool, and the tradition held that when the waters were stirred, the first person into it would be healed. We're not given an explanation of what's going on there. Mm-hmm. It could have been an angel working. I think the King James Version, I think, mentions an angel stirring the waters. But we don't know if that's the case. Mm-hmm. We don't know if it was just simply a baseless belief, an old wives' tale kind of thing, God working miraculously. We don't know.
Yeah.
But we're not told, because that's not the issue. The issue is not what's happening in the waters. The issue is what's happening outside the waters.
Yeah.
With Jesus meeting this man who couldn't walk, so he couldn't get into the waters first. And Jesus comes and says, hey, do you want to be healed? And then the rest follows suit. So that's kind of the account we're talking about.
Yeah.
So are there any areas needing caution or extra prep time that you can think of?
Yeah, something that kind of came up working on the session that I saw as a potential stumbling block or issue that can be confusing is, you know, Jesus did heal a man on the Sabbath, and the religious leaders were angry because he did that and said that he had broken God's law. But I think it's important for us to kind of unpack this for all age groups that, you know, Jesus did not disobey that command by healing on the Sabbath. The religious leaders had added a lot of extra laws on top of God's law to burden the people. It's called the halakha. But we know that Jesus, he kept God's law. He kept the commandment. He kept the Sabbath holy. And so he did not disobey in doing this, but he was not going to keep the religious leaders' laws.
And when he ordered the man to pick up his mat, he was not violating or causing him to violate either. Jesus would not cause somebody else to violate Scripture. So, yeah, as you said, the religious leaders that day, I think their intent was good. They're thinking, my understanding of this, they said, hey, we want to protect the law. Mm-hmm. We want to obey the law. And sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
So let's put another barrier, a safety net around it, so that we know if we don't violate that, we're safe. We won't violate the law. So this safety net, I think the intent was good originally, but it became warped, and they started seeing that on the same level as the law. And usually when you see the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes pushing back on Jesus and accusing him of violating the law, it's usually that's what they're thinking
laws.
Of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So that's a really important point that we want to make sure our kids see. What else do you see here?
Well, another thing is whenever we're talking about disabilities, which this man had a disability, he could not walk, we always want to use person first language. And that means that you put the person first before the disability. So instead of saying the lame man, we would say the man who was lame, or the handicap. You would not want to say that, the man who was handicapped. So that's just really important. It values the person and shows that they're not defined by their disability, but it's just something that they live with. And so along those lines, I would just encourage you to be super sensitive to children or leaders in your group that have a disability. And you really want, remember, the point of the story is Jesus's healing, not the disability.
Yeah, that's really important. This is one of the things, as we edit the content, we look for person first language, and we will do our best to edit it out. It might slip through. I hope it doesn't, but it might. We're not perfect.
Yeah.
But it's one thing we take seriously, but also in our language. And I can slip. It's easy to do.
For sure.
But it's something to be aware of. And I think the heart behind it, if you kind of pick up what we're laying down here and saying, all right, I don't want us to identify that person by their disability or their condition. And that's what happens subtly when we move the descriptor before. Mm-hmm. So just something to be aware of. Now, this I can speak from this from personal experience because my daughter has a limb difference. She has a disability. She was born with one leg. And so it's a noticeable, she has a prosthetic. When she's wearing pants, it's not as noticeable, I guess. Mm-hmm. But when she's wearing shorts, it's kind of noticeable.
Yeah.
So this is something, this is where my family lives. And so I can, from my perspective, from my two cents, let me give a little bit of encouragement to you as you're leading, especially if you know there are kids in your group who have a noticeable disability, and there are many different kinds. So let me just kind of give a couple of pointers here. Again, just from my experience, take it with a grain of salt. First, if you do have kids with disabilities, or as you're talking about disabilities, affirm that everybody is made by a good and loving God in His image. That's so important. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't understand why He does things the way He does at times. I don't know why my daughter was born with one leg, not two. But what we want her to understand, what we want to understand and live in the truth is that she was made the way God wanted her to be made for a reason. Mm-hmm. We're going to see that in the next session, which I'm excited about talking about.
Well, and I'll even add, too, you see it in the big picture question, you know, that God created people to love Him and give Him glory. Yeah,
so what we want to do is affirm, even more important than the person's first language, we want to affirm this truth that everybody's made the way God has. And it's not just disabilities. This goes to ethnicity and you, I mean, you go the full gamut.
Yeah, just
this is really important for us to understand the beauty of God made us differently.
Mm-hmm.
Before this session, if you do have somebody who has a disability, especially if it's noticeable, this is one you may want to reach out to that family and just touch base and say, hey, I want you to know, especially if you have a preschooler or a younger kid, like my daughter who is now in sixth grade, she has enough history with this to know how to handle it.
Yeah.
A younger one, when she was small, this would have made her really uncomfortable to be talking about disabilities with her. She would have felt self-conscious. So I think it's wise to touch base with these families ahead of time and just give them a heads up. The parents then can decide whether they want to talk with their kid about this, how they want it to handle it, and so forth. I just think that's a smart thing to consider doing. At the same time, if you do reach out to them, ask, would you like to share anything about this child's disability? You know, had this happened with me and they reached out and said, hey, Brian, Tara, my wife's name, Tara, we're going to be teaching on this passage. We want you to be sensitive, you know, to Hannah in there. Hey, would you like to come and talk a little bit about Hannah? We would have loved that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think most people who have some kind of difference, they don't want it to be hit. It's out in the open.
Yeah.
And curious, honest, sincere questions are usually welcomed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great opportunity to say, hey, let's point out the elephant in the corner of the room, proverbially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And say, hey, this is what happened. Hannah was born this way. This is what she has. She has a prosthetic. And I think that can be a good opportunity as we think about discipleship, not just being information transfer, but we're together.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Reading articles about, you know, this subject, I read about like a person in a wheelchair was saying how they prefer when like a parent lets their kid ask about why are you in a wheelchair versus them just like, shh, don't say anything,
exactly.
Don't stare.
As if it's something
that
wrong.
That makes it worse. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. So now sometimes, getting off on a little tangent, sometimes people can do it wrongly, especially with like when adults stare at my daughter, drives me nuts.
Oh, for sure.
I will intentionally step in between and just kind of look at that adult because you should know better.
Yeah, yeah.
When kids are staring and so forth, it's natural curiosity. Mm-hmm. So, two other tidbits of advice. If you do talk about disabilities more in general, be sure to broaden this, especially if you have a kid with a disability. So, for example, if my daughter were in this class with a limb difference, I don't want her feeling singled out that that's the only disability or, you know.
Yeah.
There are many other kind of disabilities.
Yeah.
Many that are seen, some that are unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also important to show this is something so many people have.
Yeah.
Let's get a heart for our kids to have for this. And it's more common than we may think. So it's not this odd, I'm going to use an emotional word on purpose, a freaky kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, this is more common than we think. So, and then the last thing is, again, affirm that Jesus will return and make all things right again one day. Disabilities will be no more.
Yeah.
So just a couple of pieces of advice.
Yeah, good word. Getting specifically into some things in the preschool and babies and toddlers leader guide, we do some water play this week. So again, you hear me say this over and over again, but I'll continue. This is a great sensory activity. Don't be afraid of it. It is going to be messy, or it can be messy. Actually, it depends on how close an eye you keep on the kids as to how messy it gets. But remember that, you know, the teaching time is not just when you're telling the Bible story, but the whole session is teaching. Mm-hmm. And preschoolers learn by activity and different learning styles. You know, they learn in different ways. So by doing activities that maybe are a little bit harder for you, may make it be a little bit messy, they're really going to engage kids in a way that just, you know, sitting down and telling them the Bible story is not going to have the same effect. So I just really want to encourage you to not be afraid of those, but to embrace them. And yeah.
Definitely. Good word. All right. What are we excited about God potentially doing through this session? Karen, is there anything that stands out to you?
Yeah, it's interesting because my discipleship group is going through John. So I've been thinking about the book of John a lot lately. And I noticed, you know, we've worked on this these Bible stories a while back before we are recording. But this week's Bible story and next week's Bible story, when Jesus healed the man who was blind, we'll learn about for next week. Those are two of the seven signs that John pointed to, pointing that Jesus is the Messiah. And I love how he gives his purpose in writing in John 20, verses 30 through 31. It says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And so my hope for our kids in this session is that, you know, John's purpose would be accomplished in his writing, and that our kids would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus and have eternal life, and even to not just a light faith, but one that's deep and mm-hmm. rich.
We're going to talk about that in next unit, I believe mm-hmm. it is. There's a great session on the cost of discipleship.
For sure, yeah.
You know, one thing that I'm excited about in this session, and this is probably because I'm wired this way, I'm not afraid of confrontation. Some people are. But I love how confrontational Jesus is at times. We mm-hmm. see it here. Mm-hmm. So you think Jesus always did what he did for a reason. Mm-hmm. And he told the man to pick up his mat on the Sabbath for a reason. He performed this miracle on the Sabbath for a reason. He could have come back Monday or Sunday, even next day. Yeah. I mean, he didn't. It's the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Well, why? Because he wants to provoke the religious leaders. This was done intentionally, and he does this at other times as well, where he'll say something or do something because he wants to provoke the religious leaders. Jesus, if you read through the Gospels, it's really interesting. It becomes clear. For the people at large, he's generally more sensitive, mm-hmm. Softer and so forth, because they sincerely were misled. They were confused, and he relates to them in kind. The religious leaders who are stubborn and hard of heart and prideful, he's often more forceful. Mm-hmm. The woes, you know, he puts it on the table for them.
Yeah.
It's all done out of love, though. Mm-hmm. Jesus is not being jerky Jesus here. He's always loving Jesus because what he wants to do is he knows that people are wired differently. And some people need that arm on the shoulder. Some people need that kick in the pants.
Yeah.
And so he's being confrontational because he knows that this is going to force those leaders into a predicament. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to reconcile. They do it wrongly.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. This man was healed. That is not normal. But the man who did it is not doing it the way we would expect mm-hmm. because he needed them to understand the Messiah is not who you expect it to be. So I just love that times where we see Jesus being more confrontational for a reason. Again, maybe it's because I'm wired this way. You and I are different in this regard.
Oh yeah, I'm a tenderness person for sure. I don't like confrontation, but no. I do want to speak to that though. Like, I do think it's interesting. I catch myself reading the Gospels and thinking, oh, you know, Jesus is just angry with the religious leaders. You know, he just wants to put them down. But know that Jesus, this is how he pursued their hearts. This is what they needed. And that, you know, I think that if you kind of come from a legalistic background like me, you can read the Gospels where, you know, just in a legalistic way, but recognizing that everything Jesus does is to draw people to himself that they might be saved too. So he wanted to see these religious leaders come to a saving faith in him too. And some of them did, I'm sure. Yeah.
And so everything he does is for his glory and our good. Mm-hmm. And again, that's the thing. We're going to talk about this in another episode as well.
Yeah.
Our good sometimes is painful.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of times it's painful.
A lot of times it is. So. All right, let's wrap it up there. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We hope that you have found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. For more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.